Page 248 in the Moles book, page 248. Heaven's gates I now can see as they open wide for me. Swing wide the gate, I'm coming home. Angels sing a welcome song, and I know it can't be lost. Wide the gate,
I want to be its own. I want a good fight. Seemingly this morning the crowd's low, and doesn't make any difference. We need the Lord here with us. I'm hopeful this morning that each of you prayed for today's service, that the Lord would meet with us today, that He would bless this service and that He would guide it. I've seen a lot of services where the crowd was small, where the Lord really met in a great way. And it's important for us that our hearts and our minds are focused upon that. That serving God and giving Him honor and glory this morning, and He will meet with us. He will meet with us today. I'm thankful once again for each one that has gathered this way. We need to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I know I have an interest in your prayers as I try to stand today to say those things that God would have me to say, but you may have something special on your heart this morning. You might have a praise or someone you want to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer. Sun's shining outside. It's a beautiful day. Not a smile on anybody's face in here. Not a smile on one. I mean, we should be happy. We should be a happy people. We should be thankful that we're able to be here this morning. And I look back there and everybody's got their head down and it's not a smile on anyone's face. No one seems like they're happy. I'm happy to be in the Lord's house this morning. I'm happy. I'm thankful that I've been blessed to be here this morning. And I pray for the service over that everybody will leave today with a smile on their face, that they'll be happy that they come and make a choice to serve God and to lift God's name and to give Him honor and glory. That our hearts will be made right before we leave here. Anything at all to be said before we go, Lord, in prayer?
Brother Arm, Katie graduated last night. She's going on with whatever she is going to do in this life. But y'all remember her, that the Lord might watch over her and see her through and bring her around, that she might come back to church, if not here at some missionary Baptist church.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for all the graduates. You know, whether they're graduating high school, graduating college, they've all got a lot of decisions and a lot of things that they're going to need help with, and they're going to need the Lord to help them with those decisions if they make the right ones. And let's pray for all of them. I know sitting up here on the front seat's another young man that's just, I believe, graduated out of college, and he's got a lot of decisions to make, and they need our prayers. They need our prayers. It's the church's responsibility to pray for these kids that the Lord will direct them and guide them and watch over them and care for their lives. So let's remember this request. Someone else this morning. Remember that prayer request. Someone else this morning. As I mentioned earlier today, Sunday school, you know, we're almost into revival. It's just a few weeks away. I hope and pray everybody that is here today has a burden on their heart for those that are lost. Family and friends that are possibly don't come, not here, whatever the situation might be. Take the time and opportunity. There's about 3 weeks, I believe, before revival starts. Invite people to come to revival. Invite those that are lost to come to the revival. Invite your co-workers. And if nothing else, it's a good opportunity to tell them about the Lord. We'd love to have them here, and most of all, we want to see them saved. So let's remember, let's be in prayer about not only our revival, there's a lot of other effort meetings that will be beginning, and those that are going on now. We need to be prayerful for our sister churches as they're in these efforts right now. Just like us, they need the Lord. They need the Lord's help. They can't do nothing without Him. And I believe the Lord blesses those that work for Him. I truly do. I believe the Lord blesses those that work for Him. So let's be diligent and try to reach out to those that we know. And we all have family and friends, both alike, that are lost, and if you don't, you consider yourself a lucky person. Anything else?
Next 3 weeks to be prepared. I with us on a regular basis. He's right there. We can feel His Spirit. We can feel it in the women that are there that just talk or in the speakers. It's just been wonderful. And I want to thank Him for that this morning. That He is so good to me. And I just want to thank Him. I want to thank Him for my salvation, too. For my wonderful life.
Amen. Appreciate this. Someone else this morning. If not, we need to go to the Lord in prayer today. Brother Jesus, you lead us.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for bringing us this place. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. So, life is one gift. We'd ask you, Lord, for a prayer request in the name. Lord, be with Bill and guide him. Help him through this health problem in the church. Prepare him for each the Lord. In turn,
thank you, Lord, for salvation.
Watch over this church. Give us the guidance to turn to you for worship.
Each and everything, dear Lord, that has come about in my life, that made me, dear Lord, to know and understand the truth, dear Lord, and thank you, dear God, for that. Ask your Lord that you be with us, Lord, that the Lord Lord be in the Spirit to guide us and direct us, dear Lord. The things that we say, Lord, we need your Lord in our service, Heavenly Father. We need your Lord in our prayers and our songs, dear God. We need your Lord in our lives and our hearts and our minds, dear God, each and every minute of the day, dear Lord. Help us, dear God, to know and understand, dear Lord, your will. Lord, we just pray, Heavenly Father, for the revival, Lord, those that's on the way, dear God. And those that are going on now, we pray, dear Lord, for that you be with them, dear Lord, and help them, dear God, to follow you, dear Lord, and just serve you. Lord, that you would bless them, dear God, that lost souls would hear the gospel and be saved. We ask the Lord for our effort, dear God, as we pray, dear Lord, for it, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the lost would be here, dear God, to hear the message, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for the words of those, myself and those that will be trying to stand, dear Lord, to claim the truth, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for guidance and direction, Heavenly Father, for both of them, Lord, that they would have the words to say, dear God, to some lost soul, dear Lord, that their that stony heart might be broken, dear God, that their that word would penetrate their heart and have its effects, dear Lord, upon their life and cause them to repent of their sins and have trust in your faith in you, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, we pray, Lord, ask your God today, Lord, to help us, dear Lord, in that effort. We ask, O Lord, that you meet, dear Lord, and watch over those that are graduating from college, from high school, dear Lord. Lord, that you would help be in their lives, dear Lord, to guide them and direct them, dear Lord, to guide their decisions, dear Lord, on what is right, dear Lord, and just help them throughout their life and bless them, Lord, we pray. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all you do, most of all, Lord. We thank you for saving our soul, Lord. We ask you, dear God, to forgive us of our sins and just help us when we fall. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg and pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Page 42.
Thank you.
did that way too high. I'm sorry, I can't get that high. Second verse. I can feel.
Comforts me through faith in him or sin, I have the victory. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing it, shout it, for he's everything to me. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At his dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens from my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing it, shout it, for he's everything to me.
I'm actually going to do a song.
Oh.
appreciate this. I have thought on my heart this morning. I've been thinking about this week. I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, start reading in the first verse. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what ye went out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are kings, are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was come to you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, the man is gluttonous. And the winebibber, friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. And I'm going to stop my reading lesson right there this morning. And I take a thought, I guess. It would be a thought out of the sixth verse, Blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. If you look up the word offended in the Greek, you'll find out that it has a meaning of stumble, basically. So blessed is he that does not stumble in the Lord, or stumble upon the promises of God. We read here in this writing, and it tells about John the Baptist. We see here that in the second verse that he was in prison, probably a prison in Galilee, and we can turn over into the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we can find out why that he was in prison. He was preaching the truth. He was preaching the truth, and he told Herod that he was committing adultery by taking his brother's wife to marry, and from that point on, basically, he was imprisoned, and then later on, he was beheaded for this reason. We see here in this writing that as you go on down and you look a little bit, you can see that Jesus was asking, or basically he was telling them to go back and tell John some of the things that was done. The blind received their sight, the lame to walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf to hear, the dead raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John sent his disciples out to see if this was Jesus that he was hearing all these things about. Even though he was in prison, no doubt word had spread and things had, even in a prison, that you can imagine the uproar of in the Jewish areas of somebody that was coming in and proclaiming another gospel than what they believed. And all the things that he was doing, the blind made to see and the lame to walk, all those miracles that had gone on, and the uproar was even heard and while John was in prison. And he knew that he had met the Messiah. He knew that the Lord told him from the beginning that that the Holy Spirit would come down upon him and it would be evident who the Messiah was to be. And during his baptism, he experienced that and he knew that. But he wanted to know if all these things that was being done, if they were truly being done by Jesus, if this was the Messiah. And no doubt he might have had thoughts or doubts while he was locked up in this prison. And I believe that Jesus told him, "Blessed is he whomsoever shall not stumble in me, in the promises that I've given you, in the things that I've said." Now, I don't believe that John was a man that was trying to claim himself to be better or anything. There's different times he said that he wasn't worthy to unlatch the shoes on Jesus' feet. He said, "I must decrease and he must increase." He knew his place and he knew his responsibility. But as we read on down and we find out this question that Jesus was answering or asking all the multitudes, "What'd you come out in the wilderness to see? Did you come to see a reed shaken with a wind? A man clothed in soft raiment?" All these different things that John the Baptist wasn't. The crowds that gathered around John the Baptist and all the things that he did, you can go back over to the readings in the third chapter of the book of Matthew and you read about John the Baptist. When he came into the wilderness, he was wearing, let me turn over here and read because it slipped my mind. In the third chapter, in the fourth verse, it says, And the same John had his raiments of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out into him into the Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So this man was a man that had also got a lot of people's attention by his dress, by his demeanor, by his ways, by what he stood for, by his ways. And Jesus, I believe, was in his question in here, "What did you come out to see? Somebody that was going to be bent and swayed like the reeds do?" And that's exactly what John the Baptist was not. He was not somebody that was swayed or persuaded or bent by any wind of doctrine. He was taught, I believe, by God himself. I believe the Lord instructed him. I believe that he had knowledge of the Old Testament, what the Bible said in the Old Testament times and the readings, and that's what he had. And he had the understanding of that. And this was a man that was not persuaded in anything. He wasn't swayed in any of his teachings. He held true to just exactly what the Lord gave him to say and the Lord gave him to do. And, you know, we don't often find or think about a blessing as being someone that is locked up in prison and then after a period of time is beheaded. You don't think of that as being a blessing on somebody, or we wouldn't. But, you know, the Lord had a plan and a purpose for him. When he sent him into this world, the Bible tells that he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. There was a plan and a purpose for John the Baptist when he was set upon this earth. I believe that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And I believe he wanted John to know that no matter what the circumstance or situation was, that blessed is he that does not stumble in me or in the promises of me or in the salvation that I have given you or the Spirit that has filled you. Blessed are you. Blessed are we this morning that have been saved by God's grace and able to gather here in this church together today and to lift up God's name and to worship Him this morning. Blessed are we. Is everything in our lives perfect and great? Well, it may not be, but we're blessed this morning anyway, just the same. Because we're able to do that. You know, you think about, when I was thinking about this, you know, who are you come to see? We live in a day and an age where you wonder what people are looking for, what people are trying to see in the things that's going on in this world. I'm sure most of you have heard this week about the world was supposed to end yesterday at 6 o'clock. Last night at 6 o'clock, the world was supposed to end. There was billboards put up. It was on TV. It was televised. It was everywhere. The world was going to end yesterday at 6 o'clock. You know, and there's a lot of people that believe that. There's a lot of people that believe that. There's a lot of people that sold their businesses. Just quit work, quit doing everything, and waited on the Lord to come. You know, and I believe if I actually knew when the Lord was coming back, I could be able to do that too. I would be able to do that. And I think most of us would. But see, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what one of the Bible's promises is. That's not one of the promises that God gave us in His Word. Now, He did promise us that He was coming back. But He didn't say when. He said no man knows the day or the hour. And we'll get into that a little bit, maybe a little bit later on. But how somebody could even come to the understanding of making a calculation that the world is going to end on May 21st, 2011 at 6 o'clock is beyond me. I know there's a lot of really smart people in this world, but you know, in God's Word, He said He brings their wisdom to naught. He brings their wisdom to naught. These things that... just like John the Baptist and the blessings that we have, the blessings that we have of knowing what the truth is and standing on that truth and not swaying back or forth to whatever the popular opinion or whatever the popular mode of religion is that's going on in the world today, that we stand straight and firm just like John the Baptist did I believe that Jesus was pointing out to the multitude of people what type of person that John the Baptist is. I believe that Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, will point out to this world what type of people we are. That we stand firm and that we stand straight on what we believe and that we hold to the truths of God's Word. And that we're not swayed and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along and every new thing that comes along. You know, I saw a man on TV that he was one of these that sold his business. He had stored up water and non-perishable items and left a generator for the people that was going to be left behind. He was ready for the rapture tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. He expected to be just took up out of there. And this theory that they believe in this rapture that
All those that have been saved, all those that are of the church, or no matter where you're at, if you're driving down the road, or no matter what, when the time comes, when the Lord comes back, you know that you're just going to be raptured out. And there's going to be everybody else that's going to be left here, and they're just going to be sitting around scratching their head, where'd everybody go? I mean, you get to thinking about all the children, all the babies, all everybody. I mean, it has no biblical foundation, first and foremost. But it doesn't even make any common sense. But, I mean, people believe that. Now, today, there's a lot of people's lives that have been destroyed because of it. I mean, there's a lot of people that are really suffering. Not to mention, wondering about their theology and wondering about, I mean, and that's good, you know, that they might need to rethink and research their theologies on what they do believe. But, you know, I believe that the devil sent this man into the world to make people think that the Lord is not coming back. Oh yeah, he said that he was, but just by him not coming makes a whole lot of people in the world think, well, no, he ain't. You know, if he was going to come back, he was supposed to come back yesterday at 6 o'clock, and he didn't come. So I don't believe there is a Lord. You know, I don't believe there is going to be an end time. I don't believe that the world is ever going to end, that it's just going to keep going on and on. There's a lot of people in their minds that think about that. I talked to a lot of people at work this week. Out on the route, they would ask me, and they would talk to me about, what do you think about this? And I told them just exactly, the Bible says that we don't know the time, the hour, or the day. Jesus said that in his own words. And if Jesus said that, and the Bible says that he cannot lie, well, guess what? Then that's the way it is. And if that man says it's going to be the 21st at 6 o'clock, then it's wrong. Point blank, that the Lord will not come back. And, you know, I had many discussions with people about, I found it was actually a good opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. You know, ask them where they stand before God. Are you ready to meet your Maker? If God comes back tomorrow, are you ready to meet your Maker? Have you been saved by God through grace? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul? I got all kinds of answers. Well, I think I've done everything I need to do. I believe I'm in pretty good shape. I'm not really for sure. I've done, I think, all I can do. You know, all these different answers that come about through this. And it's just a sad thing to think that there's a world of people that are walking around and, you know, they don't know what they believe. They believe anything, but they don't know what it is. Just whatever somebody will tell them, they'll believe it. That man said he's a preacher, and he said this, and so I want to believe it. You know, I've told you time and time again that I can make a mistake. I could say something wrong. I could be wrong. It's your responsibility to study to show thyself approved before God. I'm not going to intentionally try to do it. I'm not going to try to intentionally misdirect somebody. But I'm just human. I could make a mistake and I could say something wrong. I hope I don't. I hope the Lord always keeps my tongue under control to just say the things that needs to be said. But I'm sure that probably has already happened many times in my ministry. The promises that God gave us about His end time and that He is coming back is true. He is coming back. It's important that we understand, you know, they take a lot of these scriptures, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew being the one that they want to use for their scriptures for the rapture and everybody being raptured out of this world. They use a lot of these verses about one taken and one left behind out of this 24th chapter. of the book of Matthew, but it says in the 36th verse of this same chapter, it says, "But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall all also the coming of the Son of Man be." And this is where they start getting their thoughts of one taken and one left. In the 40th verse it says, "Then shall two be in the field, then one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have suffered his house, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over the household, and give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing so." You know, you can read on, and basically the writings and the teachings of this 24th chapter, it's to my understanding and my belief that this is speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD. I believe that's what this is having reference to. But, you know, the main point of all of it is, be ye also ready. There's an understanding, and I think there's a knowledge and understanding for each and every one of us that, you know, any day could be our day. It doesn't make any difference. You know, if we know the Lord was coming in 2 weeks, and yet the Lord decided to take us home in a week, what are we going to do? It says, be ye ready also. And that's the point in our teaching and in our preaching, that we want people to be saved. We want them to hear the gospel message. We don't want them to postpone these things. We don't want them to postpone the important things of life. You know, children can grow up and never hear the gospel, and once they get to a certain age, it's hard to get them to hear. They need to hear this from a young age up, that they can be introduced to Jesus and the gospel message, that the word would penetrate their heart, that they would believe and be saved. It's important for us that we know and understand, you know, the last day has been spoken of since the beginning. It's been spoken of since the beginning. No doubt John the Baptist knew of the last day in his writings. We can look over in the book of Malachi, the last prophet that spoke in the Old Testament. And you can read, and it prophesied of John the Baptist in the 3rd chapter. And in the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, it says, "For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And if you jump on over to the 5th and 6th verse, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, I believe that this Elijah is spoken of here is the same as in our reading lesson here. You know, Jesus was telling him, you think this was Elijah? Well, it is Elijah. It's the Elijah of the New Testament. It's Elijah the forerunner of Christ that's telling you the same things that they told you in the Old Testament, and the same things that I'm teaching you and that I'm telling you. This man that did not sway, that doesn't walk around in a long robe and look good just to present himself as a holy person, but a man that preaches the truth, that stands on the truth, that believes in the truth, and that's what we are all supposed to be. Someone that does not sway or even to these teachings. You know, the Bible teaches on the return of Christ and that there will just be one return. You know, you can look over in the first chapter of the book of Acts and we can see where Christ left. In the ninth verse it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." You know, Jesus died one time for the sins of the whole world. He died that all mankind might believe in him and trust in him and be saved. He's coming back one time for a judgment. Judgment day is going to be one time. Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, there was one guy that I talked to this week. He said, "Well, you know that it's the 21st in other places, in other parts of the world. It's already the 21st. And he said, "I hadn't heard or seen anything on the news about it." And I said, "No, and you won't." I said, "If it happens today, if it comes today, the Bible says that the Lord will return in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye." I said, "As quick as you can blink the eye, that's when it's going to happen. It's going to be over and it's going to be done. There's not going to be a time for second chances of repenting, of turning to the Lord. It's over then." That's the seriousness of our responsibility to this lost and dying world, to tell them that it's happening that quick and when it comes. And that it is God's promise that He is going to come, even though He didn't come yesterday at 6 o'clock. Just like the devil wanted to happen, to deceive a lot of people and make them think that it would never happen, that the Lord wouldn't come, that the world would never end. Because these religious people said that it was going to happen and it didn't happen, so it must be a lie. It's going to happen. It just makes it harder and harder and harder with all the lies that Satan's presenting to this world for the truth to get to them. There's so much confusion, so many things that is being presented to this world today that is false. And when the truth gets to them, they don't know if it's true or not. There's so many things to pick from. There's so many different ways of salvation to choose. I don't know what's right. Could be this one or this one or this one. It's important that we hold true and straight, that we don't bow or bend to any other way than we know and the ways of salvation that we know. There are also those that I spoke with that could actually care less, had no regard whatsoever. You know, and I guess that's one thing that bothered me more than anything out of talking to these people. Though such a lack of reverence or regard to the Lord coming back, just as if big deal. The Lord's coming back. So what? That attitude that I saw so much, you know. And I know the Bible teaches us that there, in the last days, in the last times, and I do believe with all my heart we're in the last times, but you need to know and understand that The apostles, when they was preaching Jesus, when Jesus was walking this earth, they thought they were in the last days. They thought they were in the last times, and that was 2,000 years ago. When is the last day? We don't know. The Lord knows. But there is a world of people out there that is just walking around and thinking, well, it's never going to come. This world is never going to end. It's been going on for, you know, and you get all this garbage teaching about evolution and all this, that the world's been in existence for millions and billions and trillions and zillions of years. And it just adds to the theory that, well, you know, it's been in existence that long. It started from a germ, you know, and it's come to this. It's just going to keep going on and on and on and on. It's just the devil working to deceive people. In 2 Peter chapter 3, some more familiar verses that tells. Chapter 3, starting verse 3. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord has tarried with this old earth and with us here on this earth for the length of time, for one reason and one purpose, that they all might come to repentance, that they might be saved. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's clear to me, folks. That's clear. Plain and simple English, clear. And it should be to anyone else. But it's not. We find over it also, you can look in the book of Jude. It says in the 16th verse, it says, 17th verse, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's important, you know, that we, as God's people, just hold on. We hold on to the truth. We don't believe the garbage, the lies that's floating around. We don't let it suck us in. Because the Bible is really clear, in my estimation, in my understanding of what God's Word said. It is very clear. And I think it needs to be clear for all of us. That way we don't have a second thought. When something like that is said or done, we don't have a second thought. Because we know and understand this is what God's Word says. And if God's Word says this and it can't be a lie, then that must be a lie. God bless y'all is my prayer today. I pray that take something I said today and use it. It'll be something. Where word or thought on anyone's heart. Not all standing will be dismissed. I don't know. We would might have sang tonight, but I don't know anything about Brother Bird. I'll teach tonight. We can come back tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll continue going through the church covenant. Teaching on that, or to teaching on the baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we're drawing nigh of partaking of the Lord's Supper, one of the ordinances that God has left for us. Knowing about these things is good. So I'll can and will tonight, please come back. Thought or word on anyone's heart before we dismiss.
Let's remember Brother Galloway.
Yeah, let's continue to remember Brother Galloway. I've been listening for the phone to ring every morning. I'm waiting for him to call me to come and get him. And he hadn't, so let's continue to pray for him. Anyone else? If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed.
Brother Shelton, will you dismiss?
Dear God, that is a beautiful day. Thank you, dear God, we had this and I intend to have. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for a few short moments we intend to have. Dear God, we thank you, good message about this day. I want to call it to thank you, this church, and what it stands for. God, thank you most of all for the salvation of our soul. Go with the ministry.